Tom and Don, we've got Arthur on the line, and before we bring him in, let's have you explain to us who he is and what happened.
Well, the important point we need to emphasize is that what Arthur is ready to describe happened the day after the famous weather balloon press conference at Fort Worth. This was the afternoon, whereas that very morning, all the banner headlines explaining this all away is nothing more than a weather balloon. So everything had quieted down. Everything had returned to normal. General Ramey essentially chastised, you know, those idiots over at Roswell, albeit in charge of the atomic bomb, they couldn't tell the difference between a weather balloon and something truly.
And he had all those things spread out all over the place, right?
In his office, in front of his desk, correct. Yeah. Clearly a weather balloon device as displayed to the press. But the witnesses say otherwise. Now, it would be the very next afternoon, about 3 in the afternoon, and it was a flight crew. They were on the Skeet Range, and they were notified that there was a special flight, that they needed to be briefed and conduct a pre-flight on to go out within an hour. And once that was accomplished, there was a B-29, specifically tail number 7301. And we know that because one of the crewmen actually saved the manifest, the flight log, from that non-flight. And the plane was called the Straight Flush. And they would taxi over bomb pit number one, where typically they would keep one of the atomic bombs. And the pit itself was only visible from the air traffic tower and, you know, some areas of the flight line. But waiting as they approached was a sealed, unmarked, rectangular wooden crate, and it was under heavy guard. In fact, there were 6 guards. And they would taxi over the pit. The crate would be loaded into the bomb bay. The guards would accompany the crate. And from there, they would fly and make a one-hour flight directly to Fort Worth, the very same military base, Carswell Army Airfield, that they had the weather balloon press conference just the day before. And it was a bombardier on that flight by the name of Felix Martucci. When they landed, he recognized amongst the officers waiting on the tarmac a mortician that he had gone to school with years before. Now, why would a mortician be waiting for this rectangular crate, which was hidden in bomb pit number one? Now, Arthur was a tech sergeant at that time, and he was on that very flight. And we had the good fortune of talking to some of his crew members, the late Lloyd Thompson and Robert Slusher, who just passed away. And they've all been able to describe these very details. So why don't we toss it to Arthur from here?
Let's bring Arthur in. Arthur Osipchuk. And Arthur, hello, sir. How are you? Good morning.
I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
Thank you. Thank you for serving, by the way. Tell us a little bit, Arthur, how old were you when all this happened?
Well, I can't remember. I went in the Army in 41, and I was about 20 then. And of course, this happened when I was 47.
Right, so about 26 years old.
Somewhere in the years.
Tell us about the flight. Tell us what was going on at the time.
Well, what happened, like you said, I was at a ski range, and then all of a sudden, Captain Ewing told us to come with him, and we had to go to the flight line, and we thought we had to make a flight test on a B-29. We put on a flight gear, and instead of a pre-flight, we was taken to the pit. We load up atomic bombs, and the plane was a B-29 straight flush.
Mm-hmm.
It was over the pit. The personnel over the pit, the MPs, kept us away and not to get near the B-29 while they were loading. And this kind of shocked us because we had top secrets. As far as you would go, we load up the bombs, and, of course, when the flight, we fused it and everything else.
Yeah, that was unusual. You were always close by that plane, weren't you?
Yes. And anyway, then after it was all done, they had the bomb bay doors closed, and then they told us we could get on board, and then we took off, and, of course, we went to Fort Worth. We didn't even know we was going to Fort Worth. And we stayed, of course, at low level. And, of course, then when he landed, we knew he was at Fort Worth. And to our surprise, they told us not to get off that aircraft.
What did you think, Arthur, was aboard that plane?
Well, it was shock to us because, of course, that incident happened at Flying Saucers, and there was rumors it was a flying saucer and everything else happened around then. And then, of course, they said there was bodies at the hospital and the nurse passed out and they were looking for Undertaker boxes for Chow. And, of course, this we couldn't believe anything. But I can recall this. They called one time, they called us, all this incident happened. They called all the flight crews at headquarters at the meeting. They said there was no such thing as flying saucers. The ones that did, they were braggers, or they were off the rockers, and we'd probably be psychoanalyzed. They told us all this stuff at the time.
So they're trying to get you all to back off anything that you might have been hearing at the time.
Yes, that's correct. But anyway, when we was coming back, I noticed it was Martucci, one of them on the crew. Exactly, I don't know who it was. He said, we made history. I don't know if it was a pause. One of the crew members says, we got to keep our mouth shut. We won't talk about it anymore. We cannot even tell our wives about this, because if we did, we'd be sent to Fort Worth for the rest of our lives. And I kept quiet about this, which was so surprising, until after quite a few years later, I went to a convention, 8th Air Force convention banquet, and I was at my table, and someone come in my ear, whispered in my ear, and I was kind of surprised, and said, Ozzy, you definitely took bodies to Fort Worth, Texas, and he took off, and I don't know who the heck he was. And how we knew this information, we're supposed to keep our mouth shut about all this information.
Absolutely. Okay, and at what point, Arthur, did you ever see what was inside the crate?
No, they wouldn't allow us in there.
Now, how big was the crate? Try to describe the size for us.
Well, what happened? They sealed everything off. They even hid the crate from us.
Okay.
We was a flight crew, and that's why we were so shocked. Why was it so top secret?
The plane back there, the cargo area for that plane, could carry something how big in terms of dimension size?
I can't remember the size of the bomb. Well, the atomic bomb was pretty good size. They had two bomb bays, and I'm pretty sure it was on the front bomb bay. They loaded on it. Atomic bomb was a pretty good size bomb, and that had to be a pretty good size box or crate, whatever it was on there. I didn't ever see it because it was roped off. They didn't even want to see us. We were so surprised and shocked. Why not?
I mean, was the bay back there, could it fit a car, for example?
An automobile?
Yeah. Would that fit back there?
No, not in that bomb bay. Okay. Bomb bay wasn't that big.
Okay. So something smaller. So maybe not a craft, but maybe there could have been possibly bodies in the box?
Yes, that's what we believe, if we were told by rumors, and you know how rumors fly. I just wondered how they kept the bodies from spoiling. They must have used dry ice or something. We thought all that information.